So revival can be blown and be fully blown.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning, and we are so glad that all of you are listening.
Hey, amen, amen.
However many that is, David.
Millions.
Millions. Yeah, well, we hope. Yeah, millions.
We hope that there are millions out there. For sure, we know we have a lot of listeners. And we come to you every Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock. It's right now about a minute after 11 o'clock. And this is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set at 89.9. And we have an awesome friend of this ministry in the studio with us, David, today, John Nelson. And one thing, there's many things I really like about John Nelson, but one that I want to make mention of is that that John networks, you bring other people to us.
Absolutely.
And you're a brother who the devil has not been able to put down.
Not yet.
God's raised you up, and so that is really awesome, and we're excited to have you with us today. And so, first of all, I'll say, David, you're part of our team here at WCNO.
I'm delightfully proud
Great
of
Great to have
team.
You on
yeah,
air
thank
with
you.
Us.
Yeah.
And Karen, we're going to lift her up in prayer a little bit under the weather today.
Yeah.
And Sherry is in Israel, so for those that listen in and know our family here, she's out of town. And so we also have a guest, and Janelle, you said?
Jackie.
Y'all are going to mess with my head here this morning.
Well,
so.
I'll be calling you all day.
Okay. So you can do that. You can do that. And so, Jackie, great to have you on air with us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Why are we not hearing you? Let's
mic on four. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, once again, Jackie, it's great to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Good, good. Okay, so that we have everything working. Dave, we really don't have any mail today. A lot of times we start the program with a little bit of mail, but we want to get right into our interview with John Nelson and with Jackie this morning. But I want to just remind you, there is a banquet coming up, a CareNet banquet, that is getting ready to happen. I didn't bring my glasses in, so I'm not going to read it real well. Dave, can you read the contact information off the bottom of the card?
Sure.
If you do not have a ticket yet, you haven't made reservations for the banquet that's coming up for CareNet of the Treasure Coast, right now would be a good time to take this number down or go to this webpage and make your plans to be a part.
If you want to go online, you go to carenetgala.com. That's carenetgala.com. Or you can call 772-828-3168. That's 772-828-3168. And the date of this is March the 7th, or it's actually 6th and 7th. There's 2 days. You can go to one or the other, or if you're really hungry, go to both. I don't know. Seating starts at 6:30 p.m. Dinner in the program at 7 p.m. And this is one of their biggest fundraisers for CareNet of Treasure Coast.
It is. It's very important, and it's going to be a great night. And the guest keynote speaker, Roland Warren, is going to be a tremendous speaker this year. And it is. He is a national leader, and I believe this is the first time we've had national leadership that's going to be with us. So that is going to be a great event, and that's coming up. You gave the dates, right?
Yes, March 6th and 7th.
Okay, excellent. And I know, John, you're ready to go, but I want to give some things.
How could you tell?
I can just tell you're ready to go.
He always is ready to go.
He is always
ready
to go.
Amazing guy.
I have three different things I would like to give away today. So if you call in and request one of these, once they're gone, they're gone. But I have a book from Joyce Meyer, Living with Joy. Living with Joy. And this little booklet, at some point in time, apparently had a sticker price on it, $16. It's yours. If you would like to increase the dose of joy in your life, we're gonna give that out to you. And I have something else. Last week, I had a guest on, Kim. His author name is Kim Smith, but he's Kim Wojcik, and his book is Hunting Aliens, talking about in this book, it's a call. It's an invitation to people who can believe in aliens, spaceships, and all kinds of things, but they have a hard time believing in God. Mm-hmm. When in reality, there was and is an alien that came to our planet Amen. From out of our solar system, and that Amen. Is God, who loved us and gave his son to die for us. Amen. And so this book is really to grab the minds of people that are searching in all kinds of areas, trying to find what's going on out there. There's lights, there's definitely things that we don't understand. And this is just a book to say, hey, why don't you just stop and realize that God has been here. He's been sending his angels here. Right. And so God is interacting with us. So I have this book, Hunting Aliens, by Kim, that I will make available. And there is a T-shirt that is what size? What size is this thing? It's a large. It's a large.
Okay.
And so if you call in and say, I listened in last week, or I didn't get that book, we gave one away last week, I have a T-shirt and a book. So first option, Joyce Meyer, More Joy in Your Life, Hunting Aliens. That's kind of a great book to as a witness. And the third book that's going to be available during this program this morning, free, is a book from Jonathan Kahn. And let me tell you, this book is an amazing devotional guide. Mm-hmm. It's called The Book of Mysteries. It is a hardbound copy. It was made available by a dear friend, Chris Fogle, and he's a part of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. He's the executive director, and he purchased several of these books so we could make them available to our listeners, because this is a dynamite devotional tool. It's set up, it's about probably a 4-minute, 5-minute read, Dave, each day.
Something like that. My wife and I have one at home, and we've used it. It's powerful.
It's awesome. Yeah. So I have a hardbound copy. Actually, this book, let's see, it was $21.99, hardbound copy. Free to you. Will cover cost of shipping if you're going to put this into your daily walk and grow in your faith. And so making those three things available this morning, give the phone numbers, and we're going to get into our discussion with John.
You can call us at 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
All right, so no one can say we never gave them anything. That's We're right. trying to give them something yeah, right now. So
I want the alien book.
You want the alien book?
You relate to alien?
Well, actually, we are, because we're citizens of another country.
Kingdom
for sure.
From another world, yeah.
For sure. All right, so John, when you called in, you said that you had a lady with a story.
She does.
And, you know,
kind of resembles mine, except, you know.
A little bit resembles yours. Here's somebody probably calling because they want to get one of those free books, and that's great.
Tell them the alien book is taken.
the alien book is taken. Yeah, I only have one of those. But, you know, I wrote down in my notes that this is a God story about the miraculous power of God to heal and restore life where sin and Satan was bound to destroy. So help me out. John, who is Jackie?
Jackie's a good friend of mine. Met her a few years back. And, you know, I really home in on people that I run into that are in the world of recovery, God-loving. You know I'm a dead man walking. I died seven years ago on the table, transplant. Been in transplant clinic for quite a while, clinically stable, and I met Jackie and we started talking because she was going to the University of Florida Shands. I got stem cells injected back in my heart and 4 years ago at the University of Florida. And so we both know the same clinic pretty well and kind of the same medical staff. And I started watching deterioration because her liver had taken such a hit. And I seen 3 weeks ago. I walk into a building and I run into her, and it's like I see the bright light of what a liver transplant can do for you.
Wow.
You know, and it's like it's miraculous to watch people come back from the dead like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have a purpose. And I see her with her son, and the son, you know, our kids watch.
They do watch.
My kids watch. Too. My son works with me, and he'll walk up to me, and he'll be like, "When are you going to stop working?"
When are you going to stop?
I'm not going to stop working.
Right.
And if something happens to me on the job, know that I'm doing what I love.
Yeah. John, some are listening today. They may have heard your spots on the station. They don't know who John Nelson is. They don't know what Families Recover is all about. Give us that thumbnail. Just let people know who you are, what you do, and where you're coming from, because you have a great resource to offer to people that are listening today as well.
Yeah, we started as Families Against Drunk Driving 12 years ago. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, which is very important if you want to get funding from corporations, especially nonprofits. Quickly after, they had some tragedy in our house where DUI, death, and stuff like that came in, and family. So we started running with that, doing fundraising, doing DUI checkpoints with the sheriff's offices in four counties, and then we were doing candlelight services for people that were killed here locally.
Wow.
And then opioids came out and heroin, so we knew that we needed a name that described more of what the mission's about. And so we came up with familiesrecover.org. You know, nothing affects the family more than addiction.
Yeah.
It's the family that's affected. We're not saying that the person that's in that realm of their life, like I was.
You were pretty messed up.
You were a messed up guy, weren't you?
You
know, I'm a pretty transparent guy. I
had
38 arrests. I've been to prison. I slept behind dumpsters.
Yeah.
And, you know, God redeemed me.
Yeah.
Now, it took a lot longer road for me, you know, and then I'm getting sick, and I need a heart. But God's saving grace, we're able to, we've helped get 50 girls out of the sex trades.
That's awesome.
You know what's happened to my wife.
It's awesome.
And if there's anybody out there listening right now, and you've got an addiction to needles, you've got an addiction to whatever, and you can't get out, I got news for you. You can get out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and my phone number, people are like, you give your cell phone number on the radio. Yeah, 772-285-5828. If I can't help you, 772-285-5828. See, I'm passionate about this.
Yeah.
I get excited about this. And anybody that's getting sober should get excited about this.
Yes.
You've met a few girls in the studio
that
now are driving, have their kids back, and they called this radio station going to kill themselves. They were going to kill
them. They were planning.
And they were serious about killing themselves.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. And God's redeemed them. So the awesome thing about the power of God, it's not only a power of God to forgive us, but it is a power to deliver us from the destruction that sin was working to bring. All right, Jackie, give us a little bit of your God story. We've got about 20 minutes here, so... Where are you from? Where did you come from? What was happening in your life?
Since you can't see me, I'm a 38-year-old young lady.
Mom?
Going to go with young.
You are young. Believe me, you're young.
I have a just thriving 6-year-old son.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I had to take this card about the gala. Because I wanted to remember to put a plug in for CareNet.
Oh, excellent.
They're kind of tucked away. They're hidden. And when I first found out that I was pregnant, I was weighing some options because I wasn't in a stable place in my life. And CareNet was the first place that I went to that I actually found out that I was definitely pregnant.
Wow.
Not just from a stick, you know.
So did they do an ultrasound and such forth, and you were able to see the child? And
yep, they did the first
ultrasound.
So that
was important. Mm.
Yeah, first ultrasound I ever had was
so you chose life?
Yeah.
And awesome. God.
And he
That's
is,
awesome.
He's just amazing. Yeah. Best thing that could have ever happened to me.
And how old is he now?
He's six.
6 years old? What's his name?
Lucas Allen.
Lucas Allen. God bless you, Lucas. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
I didn't start my recovery journey until 2 years and 9 months ago.
Wow, so this is fairly fresh.
Yeah. I found out that I was really sick, and I was still drinking, and I was not about to change that part of my life. I went up to Mayo Clinic.
So you were an alcoholic.
I was an alcoholic. I still am.
Drugs also, or just alcohol?
Just alcohol.
Alcohol, but that's enough to destroy you, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah.
When did that start?
I was didn't take my first drink until I was 18.
Okay.
And then I drank hard for 17 years after that, to the point where I needed a liver transplant.
Wow, so your liver was destroyed.
It was destroyed. I also, because I was in a tough spot with my liver and I wasn't quite on the list yet, I had some gallbladder issues, stones, infection. So normally they would remove the gallbladder in that instance.
Right.
But they couldn't because of how close it was to my liver.
And your liver was already so trashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And this is just from addiction. It wasn't a genetic thing. It was from your lifestyle.
There's some question there about that. But okay. My dad was an alcoholic, and my uncle was also his brother.
Wow. So this was in the family.
Yeah. So anyway, I was on the liver transplant, or I wasn't quite on the list yet. I went up to Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, and they asked me if I was still drinking, and everybody told me to be 100% honest, so I was. And I told them, you know, how many drinks a day are you having? When do you plan on stopping? You know, and I told them, hey, I had some drinks before I came to this appointment. You know, that's where I'm at with this.
Wow.
And I had entered into rehab in April of that year, and of 22, I guess that would make it. And then I knew that was the only way that would work for me.
Was this a residential program? So you were actually living in a recovery program?
Yeah, okay. I spent about 3 months in there. But
was it beneficial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because to this day, and I would love to hope that for the rest of my life, I have never had a craving for alcohol.
Amen.
And, that's
awesome.
Yeah, so for about two years, I carried around I wore a tube sticking out of my abdomen, and I carried around a bag that I had to empty from bile multiple times a day. So that was a trial. Then.
Are you working at this? Were you working? Were you a functioning alcoholic?
Oh, yeah.
You were in the marketplace, so you're working, you have all this stuff going on in your life.
Yep, I was a really good functioning alcoholic.
Wow.
I got everything taken care of.
Wow.
And I seemed to do like a decent enough job with my son. But
so where does God come into all this? Was the program a Christian program?
Well, I typically go to AA, which is spiritually based.
So that was kind of your entry?
Yeah, they told me go to a meeting as soon as you get out of this facility, and so I did because I was desperate enough.
Okay.
And, basically, there have been a lot of struggles. I got my liver in June 18th of 2024. At the time, I had to go through four surgeries in a month and a half's time.
Wow, that's
and
a lot.
There were a lot of complications, like I said.
And this was at Mayo? Were you going to?
Mayo ended up dropping me because I was too much of a high risk of relapse. So after I got out of rehab, I was like, crap, what do I do? You know?
Yeah.
And so then I went to the next best hospital that took my insurance, and that was Shands.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I went there. There were a lot of complications, but I handled it really well. I didn't get down in the dumps, you know. After that, there's all kinds of adjustments that come with that.
You had a hiccup prior to getting it. You had gotten the phone call to come up, and they had one for her.
Yeah.
Really? Where was this?
Shands.
And
you got how close to the hospital, and they called you and said, sorry, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it was we got about halfway, and they called us back and said, go ahead and turn around because we aren't going to accept the organ. So, you know.
How would you like that phone call?
Wow.
So I had gotten my hopes up. I was pretty devastated. Mm-hmm. And I had to get my head in the right position to be able to deal with that news. So when the time came for me to actually get my transplant, I was cool, calm, and collected and not excited, you know, until I got there. I was in disbelief when I was last looked at the clock before they put me under, you know, and I'm still in disbelief to this day. But anyway,
so you had the surgery?
All four of them, yep. came out alive. And since then, I have just have gotten, I've been so blessed to have another chance with at life because of the surgeries. But before that, the start was, well, start is the fact that I came out with a beautiful son who is healthy and just
strong motivation. Yeah.
So how did he handle you being sick all the time? I mean, there's people in the audience right now thinking, I'm going through, I need a lung.
Yeah.
I need a kidney. I got kids. How did she do it?
For me, it's just acceptance. You know, I had to get to the place where I was like, you know, this may happen and that'd be great, but there's a chance that it might not happen. You know, so.
What kind of odds did they give you?
They don't give you any kind of odds.
Really?
They don't give you like a placement.
Your body
on the
may not accept it. There may be rejection. There may be other complications.
Yeah.
So what were the four surgeries?
The first one is the transplant. The second one, they go in and make sure like all the arteries are connected right. There's no there are no problems with what they just did. And then the third one, I had to get. It was called. It's a hepatic artery repair. So basically, an artery that's going to the liver. It's a very important artery. They had to go back in and fix that artery. So there was that. And then the fourth surgery was my bile duct was kinked, and it was causing all the bacteria was building up, and it was causing me to become septic. So they had to go back in there and fix
that. So that could have been life-threatening in and of itself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was septic a few times while I was in there. I had COVID once when I was in there. It was a rough road.
How did your son handle this? Let's go back 2 years.
That kid.
I mean, how were you?
He just knows that mommy is sick. And then he noticed, you know, he always knew the bag was there. That's just how he knew me. Mm-hmm. And so then when I got out of the surgery and I started to be able to take care of myself and walk around, he was like, oh, mommy, where's your bag? You know? And it's heartbreaking to hear that, you know, but it's also like, that's just how he knew me. And, you know, that's what people told me that I should feel. You know, don't feel guilty about it or less of a person. Because, you know, it's hard to not think things like that.
Sure.
But, yeah, I got through it. He was there. I ended up staying there for about 2.5 months in Gainesville. Mm-hmm. So that was rough. You know, he was able to come visit. It was right around the start of school. So he couldn't come visit
so
for an extended period.
So you had good people taking care of your son throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm very blessed with that, too. I have a very strong support network, and they mean everything to me.
Jackie, what would you say to someone who, you know, maybe their thing is not alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's something else, maybe it's just a genetic thing, but what would you say to someone that's run into wall after wall after wall? What would you say to encourage them to keep pressing forward?
You are worth so much more than you give yourself credit for.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Say that again.
Slower.
You are worth so much more than you give yourself credit for.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Yes.
That's what I needed to hear.
It's powerful. God, it's not good English, but I say, God, don't make no junk.
No, he don't.
He didn't make a mistake. You weren't a mistake. You didn't just happen. You know, none of us did. God's got a plan for your life. And even if you're a tangled up disaster, don't park there. You know, move on from there. You don't have to stay there.
So the thing when you remember the night, like when I remember at Cleveland Clinic when they came in and they looked at me in the face and they said, you have to have a new heart. Right. And I know what was going through my mind. I have kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was your first thought?
That's a tough one. I was in shock at first. They kind of slowly trickled in my head. But the thought I remember most was, I'm not that sick. You know?
Denial, right?
Yeah. I'm not that sick. And right. Then the next thought was, I can't leave because of my son. You know, I have to be there. And so whatever happened in my head, I got things straight up there.
Because you've had rough days. I've watched you.
Yeah, I have, you know, and I think that's human.
So what got you through?
Just,
prayer?
For me, it's, I have to have a drive to be able to And whatever is fueling that drive is, you know, what's worked for me. I can't say enough good things about my life right now. You know,
So CareNet was a positive. The surgery was a positive. Your son was a huge positive.
Yeah.
And so what do you do now to stay on the right track? You're maintaining relationships. What are you doing? I mean,
I'm maintaining relationships with people who I love and trust. And so that just connects me more. And it's helping me gain more self-esteem, more faith in myself, you know, just so many little things that, you know, you might not notice if you're not paying attention.
Mm. But you still get to make choices, don't you?
Yeah, it's all about choices for you and just making the next right choice. Might not be easy. You can't look at your whole day and say, I'm going to make the right choice in everything I do.
Sure.
Just one at a time. Don't fight the battle until you're there.
Did you have that prayer, God, if you just give me a liver? I will.
Yeah.
No.
A, B, C.
No contingencies.
Yeah.
No
deal making. No right?
deal
making. No. Just.
Yeah. That's done a lot of times.
It is.
A lot of people do that.
Or I get pulled over drunk. God, if you get me out of this one.
Yeah, you get me
out of this. I promise you until tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. For me, not about making deals. Kind of never has been. But, you know, when I was a little kid, it was. And it never worked for some reason.
Yeah, right. It wasn't supposed to.
So, exactly. what kind of prayer life? What's your prayer? I mean, when you're thinking about the Spirit and you're thinking about God and you're in that, because I know that at the end of the day, I sit there and I kind of reflect on, man, He's given me so much.
I just think about it, and it doesn't come in the form of a natural, you know, prayer that maybe you would think one is supposed to say.
So you don't have a scripted prayer.
No, right. I think about
it. But there's a cry from your heart of thanksgiving, and there's a cry from your heart of...
Amen.
It's just gratitude.
Yeah.
Mm. It all comes in the form of gratitude, because I'm not asking for anything. I'm just saying thank you, because I'm lucky, you know? And so much. So much
So what's changed. Next? So what's next?
Well, because of the transplant...
Do you have to... I mean, is this an annual checkup? Do you...
It was first every week, then it was once a month, then it was... I'm supposed to be on the 3-month plan right now, but I had some recent hiccups, so I'm going to be more frequently than that. I just don't know.
But continue to watch that?
Yeah, I get blood work done every week still, so they can check my liver numbers, make sure nothing's going south, no trend down is happening. So it'll be a forever thing that I deal with. I mean, for a while I took like 40 pills a day.
Wow.
Now I'm down to about 20. So that's pretty good.
That's what I take.
That's half.
Okay, look at that.
We're a lot more alike than we thought.
Look at that.
So John, give your contact information again. So people who are listening today, if they're looking to maybe just find some hope. Maybe looking to find a next step. I know you network with a lot of different organizations.
So, Project Lift and Elevate Hope. There's so many CareNet. We're so blessed in this region to have the people.
Yeah, a lot of different
opportunities. If I can't help somebody, I'll give them a phone number and they'll help them. You know, and that's what's important when you're talking about nonprofits, and we're familiesrecover.org. If you need anything, 772-285-5828. If I can't help you, I guarantee that we know somebody that can.
Amen.
But you gotta ask.
John, I'm gonna piggyback off of that.
Please go ahead.
You have my number already, so if there's anyone out there listening who just wants to talk, have coffee with
people,
a stranger.
We have a lot of people sick, and that's what I love about how do you help people?
Yeah.
By being available.
Yeah.
Right.
See, but people gotta ask. There's someone sitting in Sewell's Point that's gonna write you a check next year on $100,000. I've been joking that for a long time. Drinking vodka right now.
Yeah.
You don't have to drink again.
Yeah, you don't. You can be free today.
There's
free
people
right
in this
now.
Room that know that.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a drink.
Well, that's why we're in this room, because otherwise we'd probably all be dead. You know
God, pretty much,
God redeemed us.
You know, we're looking for an exotic car, because now that we've done the heat with 250, we had Project Lift there and a whole bunch of other people as a nonprofit of the game.
Yeah.
You know, to watch those 250 kids on the court after the game. That's a blessing. But our main thing is to raise money so we can make that stuff happen.
Yeah.
Because it takes money. So it now takes money to reach out. Now we're looking for an exotic car to be donated that we can actually write them a actual 100% donation for. And then we'll go ahead and raffle that thing off. I mean, there's a lot of money in this town.
Well, John, yeah, you know, I kind of take it personal that you're not doing the golf gig because
we made just because of you. Because
No. You're not doing it because of me.
I'm the one that hits people three fairways over.
No, that's me. No, I'm not a great golfer, but you know what? There are a lot of people in this community that have a heart.
Absolutely.
To lift someone else up. And some of you need to be lifted up yourself. And so, John, we are kind of out of time. Jackie, so great to have you come in and share some of your story, because I know it's going to touch someone's life. Someone's listening today, and they just needed to be encouraged to not give up. Maybe they've had a first attempt. I know sometimes, like you started out at Mayo, and then you ended up a different place. Yep. You get disappointing reports. Things don't always work out, and so your testimony here today is really important. But John, I would like you to just pray for those that are listening today, because you know, when you come in, I don't know about that life.
Sure,
I didn't live that life.
Right.
I had my own issues; they were different. But God's able to work through you and minister to other people who need to be free.
He knows
today.
Everything we need.
He does. He does.
Father, we just thank you for Jackie.
You. Thank you. Yes, Father.
She's always had that look of hope in her eyes, even when she didn't. Mm-hmm. And Father, we just, yesterday, the conversations with Keith and the other radio programs, this radio station has such a giving heart for truth and for honesty and for uprightness. And we just love the fact that other people come in here and shout out on their businesses, and whether it's real estate or construction. And we just know that WCNO is an incredibly anointed radio station, and we just lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, I can't say thank you enough for coming in, and Jackie, stay in touch with us, and you know, a year down the road, 6 months down the road, come back in and give an update on your story.
We'll bring her back with Kelly.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, when you brought the lady in on her 1 year anniversary, who was planning to take her life, and she was here 1 year later with you to testify how she was 1 year beyond the crises. She was a year beyond that day of crisis.
And sober.
And sober. And God is restoring her life. And that's what I hear from you, too, that your life is being rebuilt. It's physical, it's spiritual, and it's relational. And so that's awesome, Jackie. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
All right, to all of our family, keep your dial set right here at 89.9. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. We're going to go to a song. We're going to be back in just a moment. I have a dear friend of close to 40 years that's going to be coming into the studio now, along with another guest that I've known a long time as well.
Time. He's calling. Yes, it was Jesus drawing me all the time. He put an aching in my heart and a hunger in my soul. It was Jesus drawing me all the time. Oh, I couldn't carry the burden laid upon me. It would bring me down with every step I take. Then he said, cast your cares on me. Oh, I'm strong when you are weak. Give me all of your problems, I'll put joy back in its place. Oh, it was Jesus drawing me all the time. Yes, it was Jesus drawing me all the time.
All right, that song is by our next guest. Actually, it was recorded by our next guest too, and not the same person.
That's right.
We have two very, very longtime dear friends and residents right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida now, Paul Morgan. I was trying to think, going back, my goodness, I know our congregation's 38 years old, and we met way back in those early days. You were one of the first elders to serve with us at Abundant Life, and you're a gifted brother. You're a musician, you're a composer, you're a minister, you're a tech guy. You were working on computers, I think, when IBM was saying, hey, this is the only computer you'll need your whole life. So, Paul, welcome.
That's true.
Great to have you with us, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah.
And, John, we have a program on air that your wife does, Brenda, yep. And it has to do with constitutional moments, and it's a great program.
Yep.
And so, John, you've been serving God on the Treasure Coast a long time, too.
Yeah.
Are you still working, or are you retired now?
I'm retired.
Retired?
As of May last year. Yeah.
So that means you don't hunt anymore or fish anymore?
I hunt. And
oh,
I,
you?
All right.
You still do that?
Yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah. All of the above. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Paul, you have kind of recently moved back to the Treasure Coast area, and when we first talked early on, you had some health issues that actually had kind of taken your opportunity to play the guitar away from you. What happened with that?
Well, I developed tremors in my hands, and for 3 or 4 years, I hung up the guitar. I couldn't use it.
It was bad, wasn't it? The tremors
really
bad. Were bad.
And so I had a MRI focused ultrasound, guided focused ultrasound, on my right hand, which treated my left brain, and it was non-invasive. I was awake the whole time, and I came out in 45 minutes. I have a steady right hand, and I was able to play the guitar with my right hand. I couldn't strum. I couldn't keep a steady strum or anything. And so my left hand still shakes, and that'll get done in March, hopefully.
What a blessing that God's given the wisdom to be, and this was basically pretty much non-invasive, right?
It was totally non-invasive. I was awake the whole time, no hurting, no pain. And it was developed in Israel, in Tel Aviv, by some scientists that decided that there was a little tiny place in the brain that caused motion problems. And if you take care of that and stimulate it a certain way, and nowadays they do it with ultrasound, which is no cutting, no nothing like that.
Wow.
And they can do it within just 45 minutes. And my hand, I came out and I could pick up a cup of coffee without spilling it. And
awesome.
But he's playing bass at Sue and Sam's church.
Right. Grace Emanuel.
Grace Emanuel.
Another great program that's on our station right here. Yeah. So how did you gentlemen meet? Paul, how did you and John?
We were trying to figure that on the way down. I think he just learned that I had a studio, and so he came in, and we started recording.
I had just become a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I had visited Criteria Studio with Dion and Dion DiMucci in North Miami.
Right.
When I came up here, I had written the song "Servant's Heart," which I don't know if that gets played or not. But that song was the first song that God gave me. And I begged him, because I had seen Dion at Criteria Studios create songs. I watched how it was done, and I thought, you know, here I am at Southern Bell working on my computer, working, and I said, God, please, you know, I would just love to have a song. If you give me a song, and within 30 minutes, I had the words and the music to that song.
That's a powerful song.
And it is. It is a powerful song. And we were listening to it on the way over.
Ah.
And this is Dion from Dion and the Belmonts and Abraham, Martin, and John. And
Paul, you took me down to his home. I was able to meet him. It was
wonderful. We recently went to a book signing down in Boca Raton, and Dion had given him this Ovation guitar, and Paul always wanted to have him sign it.
Ah.
So we went to the book signing. We bought his book, his new autobiography. He's 83 years old now.
Wow.
And still singing.
And serving God.
So Dion signed our books, and we asked him if he would sign the guitar that he had given Paul like 30 years before, or 40 years maybe. And he said, his handler said, no, we can't do that. But he said, yeah, I'll do that. So I went out and got the guitar, and he signed the guitar for me.
Wow.
John was not going to say no.
No.
Wow. That's awesome.
That was fun.
So, again, how did you connect? How did you
He came to the studio, and we basically got a little drum machine going, and he played guitar and sang.
And you had one song, Paul, at that point?
No, there were eight songs that we did.
Okay.
Yeah, and that became the first album, Servant's Heart.
So I played drums. We had a friend of mine, Brent Brown, who was a bass player for Church of God by Faith.
Okay.
He also played Hammond B3 organ there, but he's an awesome bass player, and he played on some of the songs.
Wow.
And then Paul played keyboard and some of the keyboard bass, and I played the drums and replaced the drum machine beat that we kind of kept everything together. I had a little 8-track reel-to-reel, and
this is good quality. What we're playing today on the station is from there. Now, Paul, we started out with I wasn't sure what the name of the song was. I just called it Your Testimony. So what is the name of that song that we just played?
It's
opened up.
Jesus Calling Me?
Yes, Jesus Calling Me.
Jesus Calling Me.
Yeah.
So what is the story of that?
Is that
what you were talking about?
That song I had heard someone do.
Okay.
And I said, I would love to do that. I did my own arrangement of it.
Okay.
And my own twist.
Okay.
So that was, that's a great song, and it talks, it's kind of a standard testimony type song.
It is.
Servant's Heart was a message to me. The first song that God gave me was, you know, listen, my son, as I speak to your heart.
Yeah.
The fields are full of hunger.
Great. Great song.
You know, now's the time to go tell him I love, though your eyes are full of wonder.
Yeah.
And I got this, it just streamed out, and I typed it out on the computer and took it in to this big room and played it on my guitar and got the chords and everything within 30 wow. minutes. Took it over to Dion's in the morning, woke him up, made him listen to it, and he played it, and it became the first song.
Wow.
On the way down to see Dion, he's got a recording on his phone, and it's Dion playing the guitar and singing that song, and then it morphs into our version of the song. It's pretty, pretty
wow.
cool.
Wow, that is excellent. Cool. We're going to go to another song that is on that CD, Paul, and this song, I just wrote down Walk With Me.
Yes.
Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, we were visiting a friend.
Okay.
A pastor's friend, and she was walking in the garden every morning, and I said, that's a song, and that's how that song came to be.
Well, it's a great song. So that was another song God really gave you.
Yes.
We're going to go to this. We'll be back in just a moment, and Paul and John are going to hang out with us right up until the top of the hours. We run into lunch here in a little bit. Let's go to the song.
Quiet of
And that is Paul Morgan, and I guess I can say in the Holy Spirit, because I gave you that song, right?
Yes.
Wow, that is tremendous. You know, Paul, I have to say that your influence in my life has been profound. You introduced me to a close friend of yours, a pastor from down Miami way, Art Schell.
Yes.
Pastor Schell became an Apostle Paul in my life, who really was instrumental in, I think, keeping my toes tethered to reality in some of the struggles with just dealing with denominational stuff and church issues, and just, you know, Paul had to deal with the people. You know, it wasn't just shipwrecks and beatings and, you know, and all that stuff. It's also, we have to learn to get along with one another. And so your ministry alongside of us over all those years, the lives that have been touched, many, many people's lives have been touched. And of course, we were so blessed in and out of your home a lot of times. And so Paul Morgan is with us today. And also we have John McMiniman. And John, you have been ministering in the region for a long time. What, 20 years at Calvary?
Yeah, I got born again in 82 and got involved in the sound ministry there, and then started playing drums, and I was a deacon and a head deacon. And
so you didn't have a background of training with tech, you just sort of gravitated into it?
I was kind of a trained drummer from seventh grade, and I played a couple years of college, symphonic band, I played in little bands, but then I got back into, you know, playing at the church where I really enjoyed that. And we had a concert one time that was recorded and by a local recording studio, and I went to that studio and watched them mix it down, and I kind of got the bug for it. I sold my dirt bike and bought a mixing board and, and started a little recording studio in my garage just a few miles from here and off Palm Beach Road. And for about 10 years, I had a little studio. We recorded three albums with my church and some local bands and different things. And
this is very good quality. Now, you recorded this, and how many years ago was this?
35. Well, it was back 40. In the 90s.
But, you know, I pull this up. You know, we have people sending us stuff all the
30
time.
Years.
And we really kind of limit what we play because a lot of it's just not... It's not clear. There's quality issues and things there, but you know, this is excellent, and I can just see you playing these songs and hear you singing these songs, and the whole album's awesome. Paul, what would you say to someone they just want to be able to express themselves? You were just talking about this, that you had this desire in your heart, and God started bringing it out of you. Of course, you were gifted.
Well, God says He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And it was the desire of my heart to be able to write music and play music for Him. And I can only say to anybody, if it's the desire of your heart, and it has to be the desire of your heart, that God will do what He says He'll do, and He'll give you the song. Just ask Him, and He'll give it to you. If you don't ask, forget it. You might end up with some really tough stuff.
Right.
But if you ask Him, He'll give you it, and it'll come. Like for me, it came right out of a still small voice.
Yeah.
And it came out very quick. And when it comes out like that, you know that it's from God.
Yeah. So when did you come into the kingdom, Paul?
July 7th, 1979.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Charles and Francis Hunter baptized me in the pool.
Wow.
Somebody drugged me into that. And when I came out, I was singing in the spirit. Wow. And they said, this boy's going to have a music ministry. And it certainly came to pass.
Proof. Wow. Proof. I love it when God messes up all of the devil's best plans, and God sets us free and brings us into the kingdom.
I had no idea. It was amazing.
That's powerful. And what about you, John? When did you mention what, in the 70s?
Well, I got saved in 82.
82.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got married in the Catholic Church. I was raised Catholic, and we had a neighbor that invited us to this church over on FIT campus, which is actually where Brenda graduated, Oceanographic Technology at FIT. And we started going to that church and just learning so much. You know, when you have a word for 40 minutes or whatever like that, you will learn so much about the Bible. And Pastor Tom Smith was just one of the key pastors in this area that brought really the Holy Spirit in and Spirit-filled churches. And that church, you know, was, you know, fundamental for us. And, you know, with our whole family, we used to listen to Charles Dobson, Focus on the Family. And
sure.
Just taught us all of God's kingdom, you know, how to live as a Christian. And you know, I played drums there. I played some guitar. We had home fellowship groups. And so I played a little guitar and sang too. But mainly drums.
Mainly drums. Now, both of you are at Grace Emanuel Church now.
No. Actually, Grace Family.
Grace Family.
We're both at a Grace Church.
Grace Family and Grace Emanuel. Okay, two different Graces. Okay, same Grace.
Same Grace.
Same Grace, two different churches, two different locations.
Yeah, we've been with Pastor Jeff Steffel in Violet for about 15 years.
Excellent.
And Pastor Tom Smith passed away recently. He was like 93 or something like that.
Yes, dear friend.
We had a beautiful ceremony for him. You were there.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, great man, great family.
Yeah, he was a great, great brother.
In fact, his granddaughter, Rebecca, is leading worship at our church.
Wow.
And
I can hear that in her. She did some
Rebecca and Jessica
some worship leading at the Celebration of Life service.
Yeah,
that was great. Yep. So, Paul, you're with Pastor Sam and Grace Emanuel.
Oh, I love it.
And how did you end up in the fellowship there?
Some friends we visited, a daughter from Tennessee, some friends took us there. I knew right there that's where I wanted to come back from Tennessee and retire and go to that church.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you have some family in town, don't you?
Yes, my daughter's got a ranch out about 30 minutes from us, and so we get to visit her and her chickens and dogs and cats and goats and everything.
And goats and everything else.
There should be some inspiration there for some lyrics.
I don't know about that.
Work on it. Work on it.
Well, I'm glad to have both of you in the studio today, and there's a lot more we could talk about. I know, Paul, your career and your life and military background, I think you had as well.
Air Force.
And you've been involved in a lot of different places and a lot of different ministries.
Wore a lot of hats.
And, you know, you've done that really well. And, John, I know that you have an awesome testimony throughout the community as well. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about a younger generation that God is raising up, there's still, you know, a lot of people that are just coming to the Lord now. There's people listening today. They're just coming. They're listening. They're searching. Oh, yeah. And the world's had so many challenging seasons, and, you know, we're in a different time now. And I can see that there are some revival fires that are burning. There's some awakenings that we can see. There's a lot of opportunities perhaps God's going to give us to once again be a missional nation
and
get the word out in a great way. And, of course, right here at WCNO, we have a burden to see that happen as well. One question, Paul, when did you first hear WCNO, and what's your relationship? We have a couple minutes left.
Well, I got I came to Stewart, and through, I believe it was from John McMenamin, that I had visited your old station in your old location.
Monterey.
And they actually we actually created a jingle, or a group called Arrow. Called we did a WCNO.
Okay.
it was fun. and they played some of my music back then.
Oh, good.
I actually had a radio show called Local Music Hour for a couple of years.
Really?
On WCNO, and I would bring in people that either I recorded or recorded their stuff that wasn't playing on regular rotation, and I'd do an interview.